Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Kuf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from the 11th line from the top on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Aleph. The Dibur HaMaschil, Mincha, Min, HaMincha, V'chulei. We have been occupied with trying to understand what is intended by different expressions when one accepts upon himself a vow to bring a meal offering. The Gemara opens up with a question of Rav Papa. On the outside margin, you'll notice we have a topic heading called Nosei. Nosei is the topic. In our Gemara Markings Shas Ozer, we attempt to feature titles to each new sugya, as well as structural notes under the title Mivneh. In this case, under our Nosei topic heading, we have written She'elas Rav Papa. Mahu She'elas Rav Papa means Rav Papa's question. Mahu mashmous haloshoin mine mincha. If a person said that he accepts upon himself to bring mine mincha, what's implied by that expression? Turning to the Gemara, we notice that there is a long question marking the shin to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicates the length of this question. Boy, Rav Papa, mine mincha mahu. What is intended when someone says that in accepting a vow concerning a meal offering? This question is presented with two sides to it. Aleph, you can see, is noted in the right above the line. O Dilma, a few lines later, you see the O Dilma expression squiggle underlined. O Dilma means or possibly. Bays, the second possibility in understanding this question. Kevan the Omar Mine, since he used the expression Mine, Mincha Mine being a plural expression, Tarti Komar, he's accepting upon himself two meal offerings as a vow. Umay mincha, and then what's implied by the term mincha, which is a singular expression? The answer is the kula menachos nami mincha mikren. As a collective, all menachos are referred to by the singular term mincha, so that there is no contradiction between the fact that he uses the word mine, which is a plural word, and mincha, which, though technically is a singular, it also is a collective. Dichtiv, and where do we see the word mincha referring to the sum total of menachas? The pasuk says v'zois toiras hamincha, and this is the law of the mincha. And when it says that, it means all of the menachas, not any one specific mincha. Oy dilma, or possibly kivan di omar mincha, since he used in his initial expression mincha chado mincha ka'omar, he really intended to bring one mincha. Umay mine mincha. And then what's implied by the term mine, which is a plural expression? Hochi komar. What he meant to say is, mi mine mincha chado mincha olai. From amongst the different types of menachos, I accept upon myself one of them, one to bring. So now the Gemara embarks on an attempt to resolve the question. Before going further, though, we notice a new geometric form, a triangle with a colored in tip. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you notice there is a triangle with a colored in tip. Mivneh meaning a structural note in which we try to explain the role of the various different forms and shapes as they appear in each new sugya. So here we've explained in the outside margin, Nisayon Lifshoit, an attempt to conclude Shehamashmos Shtayim, meaning Shtei Menachas, that from the following a source and inference, we will try to determine that mine mincha is in fact an acceptance of bringing multiple menachas, two menachas. when the Gemara continues and you see an inverted triangle with the same colored in tip, you will notice it's, since it's inverted, it indicates a totally different approach. And there, the Gemara will try to lifshot achas, that mine mincha really means one. So the first attempt, though, toshma mincha, this is a quote from the Mishnah, where if a person says mincha or min mincha, yavi achas, if he uses those expressions, it results in his being obligated to bring one. We can infer then, if he says something else, ha mine mincha, as opposed to what's in the source, min mincha, which was one, so mine mincha is an inference that would be shtayim. The Gemara says, okay, if you're learning the Mishnah with this inference approach, let's check out the Sefer, the second part of the Mishnah, latter part of the Mishnah, and see what the result is then. Eimo Sefer, Menachos, Min Menachos, Yavishtayim. If he uses these expressions, then he brings two. And in these expressions, you see that the word Menachos appears in the plural. Ha Mine Mincha. We could infer, though, that if he says mine mincha, mincha being this in the singular, chada, it means that he would only bring one. So if you are going to rely on this Mishnah, inferring from the Reisha, you come out with one conclusion, and inferring from the Seifa, you come out with another conclusion, this leads the Gemara to say, Elo meha leka lemashma mina. From the Mishnah and its inferences, there is no conclusion to reach regarding our question of mine mincha. Toshma, so we try again, another Tanaic quote, the fact that it's in a frame in our marking system that indicates we're dealing with Tanaic sources. Min menachos olai. If a person says that expression, yavi shtei menachos mi min echad. Saying min menachos olai, he has to bring two menachos, both of the same variety. For example, two machvois or two marcheses. Now, we want to infer from this, ha mi mine mincha chada. If he would say mine mincha, he would bring only one. In the source we saw where he says min minachos, he uses the expression minachos in the plural, so he brings two. We're trying to infer from this, though, that if he would say mine mincha, he would bring only one. The Gemara says, no, that's not conclusive. Vilma ha mine mincha. Maybe the way to draw the inference is as follows, that if a person says mine mincha, maybe shtei menachos mishnei minim, as opposed to what we saw in the source. And you'll notice in the source we used the little aleph and beis to break down the points that were in the source, were that if one says min menachos, he brings two menachos of the same variety. We can infer that if he says mine mincha, he would bring two menachos, both of different varieties, one machvas and one marcheshes, as an example. So at this point, the thrust of this toshma was to conclude, we tried to conclude, that mine mincha would result in one. Then we offer an alternative possibility. It could be that mine mincha really is bringing two menachos, each one of a different variety. The Gemara asks, however, when you examine the sources, it doesn't come out like that. The source says, min menachos alai. If a person uses that expression, maybe shtei menachos mi min echad. He brings two separate menachos of the same variety. Mine menachos alai, maybe shtei menachos mi shnei minim. When is it that he brings two menachos, each one of a different variety? That's if he uses this expression, mine menachos olai. From this we infer, ha mine mincha. However, if he said mine mincha as opposed to mine menachos, then chado, then he would bring only one. So that what the Gemara tried to reject before, that by suggesting that mine mincha would be two menachos of two different varieties, that's simply not the case. The Gemara, though, says Dilma ha money. It could be that this most recent source that's in the frame is Rabbi Shimon hi. The Omar, mechza chalos umechza rikikin yavi. That if a person accepts upon himself a minchas maife, he could bring part chalos and part rikikin. Umai mine mincha, and then what's implied by the expression mine mincha? Mincha di is bo trei mini, a singular mincha, which is known as the minchas maifa, maifa tanur, that has in it two varieties. It has chalos and rikikin. Avol rabbonon di amri mechza chalos mechza rikikin lo yavi. However, the rabbonon who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to a minchas maifa, he must choose either chalos or rikikin. It's not partial chalos and partial rikikin. Then, if he were to say mine mincha, mevi shtei menachos mishnei minim, he would bring two separate menachos of two different varieties. So that it seems from this Gemara that if this were the, let's say the, this appears to be the end of the discussion. If the original question was Rav Papa's question, mine mincha, what's the result? The Gemara seems to conclude that mine mincha, if you're going to learn according to the Rabbanan, it would mean that you bring two menachos of two different varieties. Pirashti the eini yodea ma pirashti yovi chamisha son. If a person says, I denoted a specific kind of mincha, but I simply don't remember which type I vowed, he brings five. He brings the five different kinds of voluntary minachas: the solus, machvas, marcheshes, chalos, and rikikin. The Gemara asks, Man Tana, who is the author of this Mishnah? As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a crown form, one of our geometric markings. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. Here is a case where we've combined the topic and the structural note into one note. We've written here, under the crown, Shnei Deos Al Moni Masnisin. Two opinions are, or two approaches are brought in the Gemara as to who the author may be. Regarding our Mishnah, Dekotoni Pirashti V'eini Yodea Ma Pirashti Yovi Chamisha San. Our Mishnah that said, someone who says, I denoted which type of meal offering, but I simply don't remember. The result of that is he has to bring five. So who would author that idea? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah Deloi K'Rabbi Shimon. This would not be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. D'i Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, you have to take into consideration additional menachos, more than the basic five. Kevan di Omar, since Rabbi Shimon said that a minchas maife could be a mechza chalos u'mechza rikikin yavi, that if a person said mechza chalos mechza rikikin, he would have to bring that. Inami sovar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, or if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar kol hamenachos bo'os eser, all menachos came as 10 loaves. And if a person, according to Rabbi Shimon or according to Rabbi Yehuda, had said, I denoted which type of mincha, but I don't remember. So, iko lisfuka ba'arba osar minachas. There are 14 minachas that one would have to take into consideration in order to cover his tracks. So, what this number 14, how do you get to that? So, of course, you have the basic soles, machvas, and marcheshes. Those are three different kinds of minachas. He would have to bring one of each. And in addition to that, there's another area of doubt, and this is explained in the Rashi. Iko l'sfuki l'hai ba'arbo sor menochas. Rashi points out, solos machas or macheshes, hare shlosho, that's three. And now I have to seek out another 11 kinds of mincha. Minchas maifa, iko achad osor sfekes. With regard to the minchas maifa, there are 11 possibilities. Dilma kula chalos nodar. Maybe his vow was all chalos. Because the minchas maifa is something that could be brought as chalos or as rikikin. So when he was makabel, possibly, we don't know, because he says he doesn't remember what he vowed. Maybe he vowed a minchas maifa, and maybe his minchas maifa was all of the chalos kind of loaves. There are chalos loaves and rikikin loaves. Maybe they were all chalos loaves. V'shema, maybe tisha chalos v'chad rokik. Maybe his intent was to bring 9 chalos and 1 rokik. V'shema, shmoina chalos v'shnei rikikin. V'chein girui l'chalos v'asufi l'rikikin. If you continue in this pattern of numbers, you'll find that we'll be reducing the number of chalos and adding to the number of rikikin. Ad shema kula rikikin, which is havi 11. Until you get to the point that after adjusting these numbers in an ascending and descending order as we started, you'll end up at a point where maybe, in addition to all the different sveikas, maybe he had accepted on himself something that's pure rikikin, 10 loaves of rikikin. Therefore, our Mishnah that says that a person who said pirashti, v'ani yoda ma pirashti, he brings 5, that would not be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon nor Rabbi Yehuda, because according to them, you have to take into consideration, besides the 3 basic menachos, solos, machvas, and marcheshes, another 11 combinations. Abaye Omar. Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah and says, Afilu temo Rabbi Shimon. You could say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. And that when the Mishnah says you bring 5, it means you bring solas, a machfas, a marcheshes, and then you would bring an isoron, which is an isoron containing 10 loaves of halos, and another isoron containing 10 loaves of rikikin. And we can set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon, but what about the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, that Minchas Maifa might be not all Rikikin or all just Chalos, it may be in fact a combination type Mincha? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have heard him on other occasions to say, Domar Maisi, you bring Umasni, and make a Tnai. In our case, he would have the 10 chalos loaves and the 10 rikikin loaves, because his neder might have been an isaron of chalos or an isaron of rikikin. Well, what about the possibility of his having made a combination? So he brings these 20 loaves, 10 rikikin and 10 chalos, and says that if my vow was a combination of them, so then, just citing a random example, let us say, maybe my vow originally was 2 chalos and 8 rikikin. So he would designate in his bringing of these menachos, of these 10 loaves of chalos and 10 of rikikin, he would designate and say, if my vow was like 2 and 8, so then 2 of the chalos and 8 of the rikikin shall be for a chova, for to fulfill my obligation, and the rest of the loaves will be a nidava. And you go on and on like that, with the tonight, with making this conditional. But in actuality, he is simply bringing 5 different kinds of menachos: the soles, the machfas, the macheshes, the chalos, and rikikin. The Gemara points out that this idea of bringing korbonos and making a tnai concerning them is something we have heard Rabbi Shimon to do in another context. We're going to present a Tanaic source that deals with an individual who is in doubt concerning his having been a Metzora and as having been a Nazir who became Tomei. Without getting into the details of all of the different possibilities in that case, what we want to focus on is the idea behind Rabbi Shimon of making something conditional. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Once again, this source deals with a Sofek Nozir Tomei and a Sofek Mitzora Muchlat. So Rabbi Shimon says, Lomochros, that's at day 60, after day 60, which is something we didn't describe because we're not giving all of the background to this source, but technically it means on day 60, Mevi Ashamo V'lugo. He brings a korban Asham and the Lug Shemen. Now, these are korbanos that are associated with him having been a Metzora. But don't forget, maybe he wasn't a Metzora Muklat. He said it was a Sofek. So he brings these korbanos, the Asham and the Lug. The Lug is a liquid measure of oil, the Lug Shemen, Imo, together with the Asham, the Omer. And he declares the following Tanai. Im Metzorahu, if he was a Metzora, Zehu Ashamo, Veze Lugo. This is the Korban Asham that he is expected to bring as a real Metzora that was Muchlat. And he brings the Lug of oil. So he says, if I was a Metzora, then these are the Metzora's Korbanos. The Im Lav, and if I was not a Metzora, Asham Ze Yehe Shalmei Nedava. Then the animal I brought that would have served as an Asham, let it be a shlomim of a voluntary shlomim offering. The oisoi Asham ton shchita b'tzafon u'matan b'honos u'smicho u'nesachim b'tzmichas chovos u'vishok, and that Asham, which we're saying now by way of condition, it's if he wasn't a Metzora, so we declare it to be Shalmei Nedava. Nevertheless, it is to be slaughtered in the northern part of the Azora, which is not a binding factor if it had been a Shlomim. But as a result of the Tanai, and to cover our tracks, we say that it is to be shefted in the northern part of the Azora, which is characteristic of an Osham, not a Shlomim. Umatan Bahonos, it also requires the blood oil application on his thumbs and fingers, the thumbs of his hands and the thumbs of his toes, usmicha, and a placing of the hands on the animal, unesachim, and in addition to that, you bring the accompanying wine meal offering, utnufus chose v'shok, and a waving of the chose meat and the shok, the leg. And this is going to be restricted in who eats it. Only the male Kohanim, and they have a short amount of time for eating it, the day in which it's shechted, and the following night. As you can see, the next few lines of Gemara are in brackets, and there's a bracket length indicator to the immediate right left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash-dotted line. The reason for this, for the brackets here, is based on what is mentioned in the Shitakum Uvetzis, Ois Aleph. He says that this piece is not really from the Amoraic period, it's a later insertion. Having been said, let's read it. V'afal gav dekol mafrik mor b'shchitas kodshim. Even though this was responded to or rejected in Maseches Zvochim, that's Beshchitas Kodshim, and the Kol Mafrik means it was de-emphasized in Maseches Zvochim, where regarding the Tanai, the Gemara responded and said, Eimar D'Omar Rabbi Shimon Maisi Masni the Chatchila the Skune Gavra. Rabbi Shimon might have made this suggestion of bringing things and making a Tanai, like we saw by the Mitzora, the Sofek Mitzora and Sofek Nazir Tomei. it was pointed out in Maseches Vachim that Rabbi Shimon said what he did. That's he said, do it lechatchila v'skune gavra, because by doing this we help the person get out of his suffik mitzora status. That's l'skune gavra, to fix his matters. Avo be'alma di'evet in l'chadchila lo. But in general, bringing korbanos and making a t'nai concerning them is l'chadchila lo. Not to do that as a first move. Hani mili, this that we just mentioned, that if not for tikune gavra, then this business of making a t'nai would only be something that's acceptable b'di'evet. So the Gemara says, Hani mili, gabi shlomim. The reason we are looking at this bringing of korbanos, remember in the source we spoke about, is bringing an osham and saying, if I need it, then good, and if not, let it be a nedava. The same source said, you then have the one day alone in which to eat it. So it's the Gemara points out, Hani mili gabi shlomim deko mimai bachilosan dahavluhu kochim lebeis apsul. The idea that this bringing of korbanos and making a t'nai around them, as we did, that's not good l'chadchila. That is when it's not good l'chadchila. That's in general not to do that. The only time that it's good l'chadchila is if someone needs tikkun. In other words, someone needs to get out of their state of tumah. But once again, this whole idea that it's not good l'chadchila, hani mili gabi shlomim, we take this reticent approach to condition making. That's when you're dealing with a korban shlomim, the korban mayit b'achilosan. You are reducing the amount of time you generally would have to eat a korban shlomim, which is 2 days and an intervening night. The hava luhu kochim lebeis apsul. Because this is the problem of bringing kachim, bringing sacrificial items, to a point in which they could now become pasul. In other words, by making the time in which to eat it less, to lessen the amount of time, you're making the korban more likely to become pasul as nosar. So that's true with regard to a shlomim that you are bringing in the form of this condition where he says, if I need it, it'll be an osham, if not, let it be a shlomim. The source said how you only have one day and a night in which to eat it, which is less than the time that one would have to eat a korban shlomim. So in effect, you're treating that which may be a korban shlomim based on your t'nai and reducing its eating time. That's called Mevi'in kochim lebeis apsul, which is not allowed lechatchila. However, avo menachas afilu lechatchila. When it comes to menachas, and you have someone that doesn't know what kind of mincha he vowed, so then we say lechatchila, bring multiple menachas and make a condition concerning each one. That if this is the one that he needs to fulfill his neder, then good. And if not, it'll be simply a voluntary mincha. So, with regard to menachas, you can do this method even l'chadchila. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a geometric form, a triangle, that we also have explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. So the triangle appears there, ma'akav. Ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the Gemara. So you will see with the point facing up, they represent she'elos, questions, aliba de Rabbi Shimon, de mevi, shtei menachos umasne, hechi ovid. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says, bring two and make a condition. Well, how do you proceed technically? How do you technically proceed? And then, with the triangle flipped over, those represent responses. So, turning to the Gemara, Omar Lei Rav Popo La Abaye, Ulu Rabbi Shimon Di Omar Mechza Halos Umechza Rekikin Yovi. According to Rabbi Shimon, who said that a Minchas Maife may be a combination of several Halos and several Rekikin. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, what does this person do who happens to be in doubt concerning what kind of mincha he vowed? So we said earlier, he'll bring 10 loaves of chalos and 10 loaves of rikikin, and then start making his conditions. As far as an actual vow is concerned, that involves the bringing of one isaron, and the one isaron would be baked as 10 loaves, 10 chalos or 10 rikikin. In order to cover his bases, Rabbi Shimon tells you he brings two isronos amongst, in addition to, of course, the soles, machvas, and marcheshes, he'll bring two isronos, making 10 loaves of chalos and 10 loaves of rikikin. Then, with his condition, he draws from the 10 loaves of chalos the requisite number, and from the 10 loaves of rikikin he withdraws the requisite number. When we say requisite number, we are saying that in the context of the doubt, how many, well, we don't know, so he has to cover his grounds, and he therefore takes, as we said in our example before, we said 2 chalos and 8 rikikin. Those 2 from one isaron and the 8 from the other isaron together equal an isaron. So the Gemara raises a, we'll say it's something that appears to be a question. Amar Le Rav Popo La Abaye, Ulu Rabbi Shimon V'Yomar Mechza Chalos Umechza Rekikin Yavi, Hoko Maisi Isaron Echad Mishnei Esroinim. In order to cover his grounds, cover all doubts, he has to make an isaron that he's drawing from 2 previous isronos. Like we said before, there were 10 isronos of chalos, there were 10 chalos, 1 isaron of 10 chalos, and 1 isaron of 10 rikikin. He's going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and declare that to be his vow, with, of course, with the condition. So he's made a new isaron as a result of drawing off of two original isronos. That's what the Gemara says here. Ha ko maisi isaron echad. He's making a new isaron mishnei isronin from 2 previous isronin, and likewise with regard to the oil, the lug echad mishnei lugin. And he's taking the lug that accompanies the chalos and the lug of oil that accompanies the rikikin, and he is making, through the conditions, a new lug from 2 previous lugin. Is all of this an acceptable thing to do? So the Gemara says, Shaminon le Rabbi Shimon diomar im hevi isaron echad mishnei isronos. If a person ended up doing that, making a new isaron from 2 previous isronos, the lug echad mishnei lugin yotza, he is in fulfillment. So that if he had taken a vow and needed to do this to fulfill his that doubt, it works. Now another question. Umikmitz hechi komitz. How is he to take a handful? Every mincha, as you know, needs to have a handful taken, and that handful is placed in the fire. So, how is the kmitza supposed to be done? Answer: Demasni v'omar. He makes it tanai and says, "I chalos lechudayu urekikin lechudayu amri." If I had said pure chalos, or I had said pure rikikin, deko kamitzno, that which I am taking as a handful, mechalos, from the chalos loaves, lehevei achalos, let that handful cover the chalos. Deko kamitzno mirikikin, lehevei arikikin, and the handful that I draw from the rikikin, let it cover the number of rikikin that I vowed. E mechza rikikin u mechza chalos, and if my vow was half rikikin and half chalos, Amri, if that's what he had said, let's read that phrase again. E mechza rikikin u mechza chalos, Amri, if that's what I had said, then the ko kamitzno mechalos lehevei a mechza chalos u mechza rikikin u deko kamitzno merikikin lehevei a mechza rikikin u mechza chalos. He simply stipulates in his Tanai that the handful itself that he takes is taken on condition, taken with this condition in mind. That which, and he says, that which I'm drawing off of the rikikin should be the handful, the kumitz, to be pater the rikikin. That which I'm taking from the chalos, then let that be the handful required to pater, to exempt all of the chalos. Let us read the last example again, where he says, "E mechza rikikin u mechza chalos, Amri, if my vow had been half chalos and half rikikin, the kokamitzno mechalos leve a mechza chalos u mechza rikikin, u the kokamitzno merikikin lehevu a mechza rikikin u mechza chalos." Therefore, the handful that I take from the chalos, let it cover the chalos in my vow. And the handful that I take from the rikikin, let it cover the rikikin in my vow. Question: V'hoboy mikmatz chad koimetz mechalos u'merikikin. V'kokomitz mechalos arikikin u'merikikin achalos. But is it not so that he is supposed to take one handful that's made of a mixture of chalos and rikikin? So the Gemara says, Shaminon le the Rabbi Shimon to Omar, we know Rabbi Shimon to have said, Im komatz ve'olo biyodo me'echod al shnehem yotza. The background for this comment is brought in Rashi. Now, let us correct ourselves. The details for that are not quoted in Rashi, but it's based on a Gemara earlier in the Masechta, that if he brings a combination, mincha, of chalos and rikikin, if he took a handful, and in the handful only one of the two varieties came up, then nevertheless he is yotze with that handful for both varieties. Therefore, as far as the kometz being a point of concern, there is no concern that that he can take one kometz to cover the chalos. That in one kometz there must be a representation of the chalos and rikikin. To this we respond that is not necessary. As we just said in Rabbi Shimon, that if he takes a handful and there comes out only one of the two varieties in the handful, it nevertheless covers both. V'ho'ika moiser shemen. What about the problem of the balance of the oil? And the Gemara spells out the problem. De'i mechza chalos u'mechza rikikin omar. If he had said that as his original vow, partial chalos and partial rikikin, The rule is Moiser Hashemen Machziro Lachalos. The balance of the oil after it's smeared after the rikikin have the oil smeared upon them, the balance is then put back into the chalos. E kuhu rikikin omar, and if he had said in his original vow all rikikin, then moiser hashemen ne'achal kohanim. The balance of the oil would be eaten by the kohanim, and not something else done with it. So our problem right now is, being that we don't know what the nature of his original vow was, we also do not know what to do with the oil. So the Gemara answers, Kurebi Shimon ben Yehuda, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source that's in the context of a korban that's mechza chalos and mechza rikikin. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Moshchon kamin ki, they are to be smeared as the form of a key. A key is a name of a Greek letter that has the shape of a Hebrew letter chaf. So there's a smearing of oil done on them. Umosar hashemen ne'achal kohanim, and the balance of the oil is to be eaten by the kohanim and not to be put back into the chalos. If we glance at the Rashi, Moisar Hashemen Ne'achal Kohanim Kedin Rikikin Havoim Bifnei Atzmon, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, if you have Mechza Chalos and Mechza Rikikin, after you did the smearing on the Rikikin, you don't put the oil back into the menachos, into the chalos, but rather the balance of the oil goes to the kohanim. Hilkoch, Rashi says, Mimonavshach Moser Shel Rikikin Nechal LeKohanim. The balance of the oil that was designed for the Rikikin is to be eaten, consumed by the kohanim. Therefore, the issue of the shemen is also of no concern. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.